From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
More dirt and Sprague.
Where are you going? And he's like, I'm going bowling. I just started laughing because I'm like, of course you're going bowling on a random Tuesday
night. Sounds like
a
great Tuesday night.
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Now, do you have your own ball?
I have two balls.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt and a little splash of Sprague.
Your spare ball, you don't want it to hook as much, so it will go straighter. And then the strike ball, you want to be able to get some crank on that.
Heat on that.
When you hit the pocket, you get big pin action.
Well, everybody wants to hit the pocket. I mean, come on now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader at 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Really excited for this one, man. We got a lot to get to over the next 2 hours of the show. This is one where, like, you think back to a younger self. We're unique in this regard. We grew up in this market, root for the teams in this market. And so this is one, like, a day I will never forget in my sports fandom. And it happened to coincide with something else in my life. The last day I ever played a high school baseball game, or baseball game for that matter, because I didn't play baseball after high school. The last, our state playoff game, we ended up losing. But before the game was going on, it was an evening game, we were all sitting in the dugout waiting for the draft lottery reading.
Who wasn't?
Of 2007.
Oh,
like,
God.
High school playoff game, bedamned. We might have the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. It's a day I'll never forget, and it led to Greg Oden becoming a Portland Trailblazer and joining us now for the first time.
The biggest guest in show history.
Literally the biggest guest in show history. Greg Oden, former Portland Trailblazer. He's going to be the keynote speaker at the PDXYZ event August 5th through the 7th. So coming up a couple months from now, an event that we've had something to do with here the last handful of years. Greg, good morning, man. How's life? How we doing? We got him. Did we lose him?
We lost him.
We lost him.
We lost Gregory Oden.
We lost Gregory
Oden. Damn it, Swag.
We're off to a horrible start.
Yeah.
He called in early.
And he was like, Gregory Oden?
Yes, he was excited.
Dude.
He's pumped to be here. If he loves the city of Portland.
If he's doing voices calling in, he should have a cartoon
voice. Let's try again. Greg, can you hear us?
We got him.
I can hear you guys.
Let's go, baby.
Yes,
let's
hear
go.
Me.
Yes.
We got you.
Loud and clear.
What's going? What are we up to these days, Greg? What's life been like?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first off, I appreciate you guys for having me. I definitely heard the, oh, gosh, before the 2007 draft. I understand it as well. Kevin Durant is amazing. I'm going to get that out the way right now. He's one of the greatest players to ever play the game. I'm just going to say that right now. But right now, Gregory Oden is sitting in Louisville, Kentucky, about to go to day one of everything going on here for the horse races.
Ooh.
And but these days I'm working with Elite Life Consulting, with a do everything sports marketing firm, helping getting these kids to colleges and helping them get NIL deals and doing it for the right reasons. You know, I've been on both sides. I've coached, I've played, and I just want these kids to have better lives than me, even though I'm pretty happy with myself right now. And I'm going to thank Portland Trailblazers for that, because my life changed the day that I got drafted, and I would never forget that. I am indebted to the city of Portland and the Portland Trailblazers and organization and Paul Allen and his family. I am so thankful for everything. So I appreciate you all for having me. And just know I got all that out the way, so now I can talk.
I love it. I'm glad you did that. I want to ask you this. So we watched this Jailblazer doc, and it had Bonzi in it. And Bonzi Wells gets traded to Portland, and he thought it was Portland, Maine. He didn't know where Portland, Oregon was. And I don't know if I've ever heard this from you. Like, when it came down to Seattle, Portland, when it got to that point, it was a shock to everybody. Were you in your mind, like, I'm assuming you knew where Seattle was. Like, what did you even know about Portland, Oregon when it, like, came down to the last two picks?
So I wasn't like Bonzi per se, but I was on the flight And literally when I landed, because it was supposed to be Boston, Memphis, and then it was Portland, Seattle. I go, huh, okay.
Different part of the country.
All right.
Yes. But honestly, I knew nothing. But I learned quick. You guys have some really good seafood and really great people and one of the best sceneries in the country.
Yeah. It's funny when you think back to – I'm curious to ask you because we're going through a playoff run right now. The Blazers, I think they're going to probably lose tonight and the season will come to an end. But we're going through a lot of these young guys kind of getting that taste of the playoffs for the first time. And I wanted to ask you about that. Mm-hmm. Like there was so much hope and optimism, man. Like, this city was alive in a way, in a basketball standpoint, that it hadn't been in a long time when you guys made that playoff series and you're going against Houston. It's the first time in a minute mm-hmm. since they had been there. Like, as a young player going through that for the first time, like, how different was the game, the speed, the matchups throughout the course of a series? Like, what did you learn and how did you evolve, I guess, throughout going through that experience for the first time? Because we got a lot of young guys who are doing that right now in the playoffs.
Well, honestly, I think that first playoff series kind of hits you hard. You really don't know what to expect. You don't really understand that the game is different when it comes to playoff basketball, but it really is. And I just think a lot of these young guys are going through it for the first time, but now they got the experience. But that's one thing that we see in Jrue Holiday, who's been through it before. He understands that. He understands that the reffing is different. He understands that the physicality is different. He understands that the moment is not meant for you to just be cool. Like, you actually need to take advantage of this moment and play your best basketball. So I really respect Jrue for everything that he's doing. And I think that, I hate to say this, but I am so proud of the Trailblazers for winning one game, because I honestly had San Antonio winning the championship. So the fact that we were able to get a game, I think we overstepped for my expectations. But I'm just so proud of this team. I love Denny. I love everybody on this team. I love the organization. I just love the fact that they go out there and they hoop. And when they're playing fast and they're hitting their threes, I think we're actually a really good contender.
Well, you've gotten to the coaching element. I know you're in the NIL space now, and I do want to ask you about that. It's very interesting as somebody who didn't have it, and my God, your life financially, what the difference would have been if Greg Oden out of high school going into Ohio State would have had something like this and the perspective you can offer. I got to ask you a hoop question, though, as somebody that watches basketball, that knows the game so well, who's also a pretty big dude, what are you doing against a Victor Wembanyama, this 7'5 alien that weighs 10 pounds, but, man, he's so skilled, he's so smart. Like, how is Greg Oden defending against a player like that, where not very many times in your life you're going against somebody kind of bigger than you in some ways? Like, what would you do or tell a Donovan Clingan and how to defend a guy like that?
Well, first off, he's still kind of light. Once he gets Giannis weight, then the NBA got to worry about a whole entire problem.
Yeah.
But right now, you push him out. Mm. But secondly, the way he's playing and his dedication, you just got to fight them and both get kicked out. You just got to sacrifice.
We got Young Hansen, man, our rookie center. He's good for 5-6 fouls. Throw him out there,
no,
man.
No, put somebody in there and just fight them. And then both of them get kicked out. And then, you know, you can play a regular game.
Can we hire you as coach? I think that's probably the best strategy to date that we've heard on handling Victor Wembanyama.
Now, Greg, we're winning two games.
Now we got two games. Game. He's not playing. That's probably our only chance.
I got a coach's mindset. I'm just saying. I know.
They go to
look, when I think about it, and I'm trying to think about, look, you can't change the game of basketball. He's one of the greatest basketball players out there right now. I mean, he can shoot the three. He got mid-range. He can dunk everything. He's taller than everybody. He blocks everything. He got handles. He can steal. Like, literally, you just got to get him out the game. But another thing right now that I've seen, you know, he plays about 5'6". 7 minutes, and then they have to take him out. Mm-hmm. So if the Trailblazers, you know, they get up and down, that's one thing I saw was game two. You guys start running and hit the three. I think we can actually get something going, but you got to get him tired because he does so much on a basketball court that he's going to wear himself out until he gets to that level that Giannis was like, yeah. I just do everything and I am everything. I came from nothing. So this is nothing to me.
Yeah. We're talking.
And I don't know if that makes sense, but in my head it does.
Yeah, for sure does. Yeah.
On Aspire with Emma Greed, I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From Mark Cuban to Mel Robbins, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast available now.
We're talking with Greg Oden, former number one overall pick, Portland Trailblazer. He's going to be the PDX YZ keynote speaker August 5th through 7th here in Portland. And it's really fun, man. This is a fun interview. I'm curious to go back to the college days for you because you're saying you're working in the NIL space now and just how crazy that is. Like, I saw a report, and we haven't talked about it on the show yet, but I think it was Jonathan Givony had a thing about the number of players that had declared for the NBA draft is one of the lowest it's been, you know, 25 years, somewhere along those lines. Only 71 players so far, because so many guys are coming back for another year and being like, hey, maybe I'm a second round pick, but this school is going to pay me X amount to keep playing. So I'm just curious what you make of the space and the way it's evolved and kind of the Wild West nature of it. And then taking yourself back to your college days, how do you think you would have handled having that when you were 18 years old in your year at Ohio State?
Well, let's just put this in perspective. I'm pretty sure Bryce James is making more than Bronny James in college.
Jeez.
Which is crazy to say out loud. When Bronny James just played, today's Tuesday, so 2 days ago,
yeah,
in the playoffs, right? On the two-way contract that got brought up to the regular contract. So why would you not stay in college? And if a school is going to find a way to get you $5-6 million to just be a college student and a kid, why not?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the only thing about that I hate is, what is the motivation for you getting better? What is the motivation for you to want more? Because at this point, when these kids are getting this at 17, 18, what is going to drive you to be the best you can at 25 when you already made this much money? So that's going to weigh out a lot of kids that just come in there just to make money and not for the love of the game and for the love of the sport and competition. And to say this, if I was playing in the NIL era, I would be at least top three highest paid ever in NIL.
Yeah, for sure.
Not to be conceited at all. No. You know.
No, number one pick in the draft.
Facts, man.
Yeah. Well, can I ask you then, like, kind of a two-parter then? One, so some of these kids are making the money in high school. Like, there are states that have okayed the high school players to start making money. They don't even have to wait to college. And so you see, mm-hmm, like, there's a couple high school basketball players. One kid at Rainier Beach, Stokes, he was in, like, an Allstate commercial or something. Like, they can make that money, mm-hmm, then. How would it have impacted or changed maybe your drive as an athlete in high school at North Lawrence to make that money and then at Ohio State making even more money? And then where are we getting – where's the NIL space need to be fixed? What is it about the NIL space to make you dive in and want to invest your time and your energy to address what it is right now?
Well, first I'll say it was Lawrence North High School in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right. That's my apologies.
I apologize.
No, but I apologize.
I have to say that. Yeah. But honestly, I wish I can say I knew. All I know is from my heart, I think the NCAA is going to have a big problem on their hands because there is a lot of kids that's transferring from schools that literally when they graduate don't have a home school because you went to three colleges in 4 years.
Right.
So what school do you actually represent or what school do you feel closest to? But then another thing is, you know, when you transfer, you drop out second semester. So when you drop out second semester, those credits don't count. Mm. And then when these guys transfer out of state, do they forget that you got to pay taxes the year before that year? So it's going to be a lot of kids, and there's no more COVID year. Right. So there's going to be a lot of kids coming up in the next 2 or 3 years that literally are going to be done with college, owing Uncle Sam, and not having a degree. Mm-hmm. Because if you drop out 3 times, how many credits do you really have with no more COVID years? So I think the NCAA is going to have a real big problem, and I think that's where it needs to come from. And honestly, you know, giving these kids this money, I mean, right now it's the Wild Wild West. It's way too much money for a lot of these kids that really don't deserve it. One of my biggest stories is me coaching at Butler and walking into Madison Square Garden for the Big East tournament, and I'm the highest paid. Well, I'm not the highest paid. I'm the most known in the arena. But our fourth man is getting paid more than me. And I'm doing 3 jobs at Butler. And it's like, what is going on right now? Like, literally, nobody wants to talk to you. They want to come and take pictures with me.
Yeah.
And I'm just the video coordinator / Dobo / assistant big man coach / NIL guy. Like, it was a lot going on for me not to get paid more than the players.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with a lot of these coaches, by the way. Their players are getting paid a lot more than them, and they don't even know what's going on. And they're really not that good, by the way.
Mm. Yeah, it changes the dynamic of the relationship. There's no doubt about that. When you talk about coaching, the college stuff is a hilarious story about the time at Butler. Do you see that as like a future for you? Is that something you want to get back into and you think you could do long term, or you got a taste of it and you're like, nah, man, I'm good?
Honestly, I would love to be a GM of a college team, and I would love to help out with the big. So, like, for me, I'm like, look, Ohio State, I'm saying it right now, Ohio State, let me be a GM. You need a face, I'm the face. Who's the only number one draft pick in the history? Gregory Oden. I don't even need to do all the dirty work or all that stuff that you want me to do. If you want me to, I will. But if you need to send me off to do some fundraising with Ohio State and then I happen to be in California or in Oregon, why not? Would I not do a little visit to a kid that we're trying to recruit? Mm-hmm. And then when I come back, I can go in and be on the court with the bigs. Like, to me, that's the ideal job. So I'm just putting that out in the universe. Ohio State, what's going on?
Hey, I know Oregon needs a GM right now, Greg. Dane Altman doesn't have a GM. If you're looking, you want to move back out.
Oregon,
let's go.
Hey, Oregon, you need a GM. Hey, look, I keep saying, look, you just need a face. Who else can make any phone call to any Division I school, any school actually in the country? I like to say that I don't open up doors. Sometimes I'll just be walking down the street, the doors open, and be like, G.O., what's good? Come here.
We have a new owner here, which, you know, you shouted out Paul Allen and the organization for the way they treated you when you got here and everything, and that's great. And I think we have a lot of culture shock. We got the media out here, the fans, maybe even some of the players behind the scenes. We haven't heard anybody publicly, but there's a lot of culture shock because the guy's not coming in with Paul Allen money. The guy's coming in, and we've nicknamed him Tommy Two Nickels. He seems to be cutting and being a little bit cheap. What can you tell us the extravagant lifestyle of a number one pick and NBA guys in general, where you hear about an NBA owner deciding to be cheap around the organization and make cuts, like how that resonates, you think, from the player side and just how to operate an organization when you are that cheap?
Well, first off, your contract is your contract. So that's one thing. I don't know where you can be cheap in that aspect, but in everything else, I haven't been there. I know it's a new age right now. But I just think that I mean, he can't really cut what's already been put there.
Right.
It's already set in stage. Like, this is a funny story that y'all don't know about, but when I first got to Portland, we didn't have washcloths. We had towels. Mm. We had to wash with our hands until me, D-Roy LaMarcus, was like, hold on now. We African Americans, we use washcloths. So, like, what's going on here? And then at one point, one of the guys had to start cutting up towels to get us washcloths. Yeah. And I'm just saying, like, at this point in the league, like, I don't see where he can cut. Only thing that he's going to cut is bringing in a big name to Portland.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, white people use hands. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that says about us, but white people.
Evidently, I need to be using a washcloth.
I didn't say that. Yeah.
No, it's two white guys on the phone. It's all
right.
Greg.
We're getting a lot right now.
We're trying to educate each other. You know, we're growing as people right now. I like this.
I'm a 39-year-old pale white. I'm telling you right up. I use my hands every day. It is what it is. I don't know why. That's
today, washcloth for Gregory. Now. That's what we're doing. Last one I got for you. I am curious because you and I we're all kind of roughly the same age. I remember being a senior in high school, your freshman year at Ohio State, watch you get to the national title game and all that. I've always wanted to know, do you remember what size shorts you wore at Ohio State?
They were 2X, but at that time, I think Nike was trying to recreate the Mellow shorts. Yeah. So the 2X was like a 4X.
Yep.
And when?
Yeah. You ever look back at those photos
like
and go
swimming in those things, man?
You ever look back at those photos and go,
yeah,
damn.
It was the tight upper one and then the big old shorts. Yeah. Yes, I remember.
Those things were massive.
Look, I know everybody's careers are different lengths. Is it not nuts to you to still see your buddy Mike Conley out there in the playoffs right now playing basketball? That's nuts to me.
What you talking about? I was cheering my butt off last night.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to say this.
It's crazy still
so
playing.
With Chris Paul retiring, the oldest players in the league are LeBron James, Al Horford, Jeff Green, Mike Conley, and Kevin Durant. Mm. And my draft was me, Kevin Durant, Al Horford, Mike Conley, and Jeff Green. That was the
seven guys, yeah.
And just so you know, when I say it out loud, it hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
But you know what? I am so proud of those guys. I'm a fan of the game. And to see them guys still go out there and still do it at this level, I'm happy and I'm joyful and proud to see those guys still doing. I wish I could, but I think there was a bunch of knee surgeries that happened in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, but you probably wish you could shoot threes. Could you shoot threes in this era?
I probably would start shooting threes. But like I keep on telling people, if you can't stop me from dunking, why am I shooting threes?
Amen, man.
That's a great point.
Amen. Look, I hope, you know, this has been a really fun one for us as guys who grew up in Portland and remember, followed the team for a long time. I hope that you know, too, like what the city feels about you. And like as we're watching messages come in during the interview, it's unanimous of like, man, tell Greg how much the city of Portland loves him and how many great memories that we had and some of the highlight dunks and the moments that this fan base will never forget. And so I know it wasn't the outcome that anybody wanted when it started, but I hope you know how much you still mean to the city, and whenever you come back, it's still a big deal, and you're going to be at the PDXYZ event August 5th through 7th as the keynote speaker, so always welcome back on the show anytime you want. I hope you know you're loved in Rip City and always will be, and thanks for the time this morning, man. We appreciate it.
Well, I just want to say, I hope if you guys are around, come to the PDXYZ event in August. I'm just going to have some very candid, open conversations, and I hope people can come out and just support. But I love the city of Portland. I really appreciate the Portland Trailblazers. They literally changed my life, my family's life, and I'm forever grateful to them. And I appreciate you guys for having me. But I do like to say that, you know, I'm not down of how everything went. I hate that I wasn't able to turn up for Portland like I really wanted to, but it's my only life. Like, I can't be down about it. I don't look down or think it was a bad thing. I think it happened, and I got to make the best of it. So I think when in everybody else's life, look at it like that as well. Like, you can't control what somebody else does. All you can control what's going on in your life. So make the best of it and be happy, because you, I mean, if it's something that's bad, I mean, shit, what you gonna do about it? Just cry? No. You gotta wake up tomorrow too. So if it's bad, make the best of it. Smile. Yeah. Be the best. Make the best of any terrible situation, because it's your only life. So.
And use a wash rag.
And use a wash rag. I love it. Yeah. Amen. Greg,
100% wash your ass.
Enjoy the derby, man. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.